For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Texting terms at unlock.com/SMS. Privacy policy at unlock.com/privacy-policy. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Terms and conditions apply. For full details, see unlock.com/legal. After portrayal.
Lisa, thanks for having me over. Your new kitchen is gorgeous. How'd you find the money to do it?
We worked with this great company, Unlock. They help you unlock the future value of your home to get the cash you need today.
So it's a home equity loan?
No, it's not a loan at all. There's no monthly payments and no interest charges ever. And you can use the money however you want. We were able to redo our kitchen and pay off our credit card debt.
Wow, Jack and I could really use this to finally pay off our old student loan debt. How do I get started?
It's easy. Just go to their website.
Text EQUITY to 865-865 to unlock the value in your home and get up to $500,000 in cash with no monthly payments and no interest ever. Pay off debt, improve your home, add to your retirement fund. It's up to you. Text EQUITY to 865-865. Text the word EQUITY to 865-865. Text EQUITY to 865-865 now.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Just when you think you've got life figured out. You're a parent now. Moose and Breezy hear your dilemmas.
Completely anonymous.
And 100% supportive for another episode of PXY Mornings. Parental Confidential.
You know, I think anyone who is a parent may have experienced their child choking at least once. And it's the scariest thing you can imagine, especially when you feel helpless.
I hope that's not the case. But unfortunately, Moose, that is the reality.
I mean, what do you do in that situation? We have a friend of ours, Jess, on the line, who has experienced her son choking multiple times, who says she's had no choice but to act fast. And even as adults, I think we've choked. We know how scary it is.
Yeah.
Let's go over to our friend Jess this morning to talk about her personal experiences she's had with her son. Hi, good morning, Jess.
Good morning.
Tell us, because you've been in a scary situation like this a handful of times, yes?
Sure, I have. So I am a mom of two. My kids are now 13.
Okay.
But they have an ASD diagnosis, and one of my sons is a high risk for choking because he tends to put things in his mouth.
Mm.
So over the course of the years, I've actually had to give him abdominal thrusts or, you know, the baby, like baby, what we used to call the Heimlich, multiple times, three times over the course of his life.
How old is he?
And so now he is 13. The last time that he choked and I needed to do abdominal thrust was in 2020. So about 5 years ago.
Yeah. And then when he was younger, that was the case too?
Sure, certainly. But under the age of three, there were three incidences in which he needed back thrust, which for children, the Heimlich is different for kids under that age than for adults or for older children.
For those that aren't familiar, a back thrust, how does that work?
So with a kid, what you're doing is that you pick a child up essentially by their feet or any way that you can get their heads below their body. And you are doing like a basically hitting them between the shoulder blades to try to, get whatever's wedged in their esophagus out by kind of striking their back while they're facing down.
Oh, that sounds terrifying.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But for your kids who have been through this a handful of times, I'm assuming they have a little PTSD at about this point. Is that safe to say or no?
Absolutely, yeah. My son who, I didn't recognize at the time, it was before he was diagnosed, and I didn't recognize just like how unusual it was that his ability, like he puts a lot of things in his mouth, but he didn't necessarily like chew and swallow correctly.
Right.
So yes, it has affected his eating. He to this day still struggles with certain textures and foods. And I think it probably is related to PTSD from choking.
Absolutely. I was looking into this a little bit because I was trying to figure out like, what is the statistic? And the average is like 70 children under the age of 10 die of choking every year, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, as a mom who's been through this multiple times and you have a son with a disability, like that adds another layer, right? So is there anything that you carry around or can like give advice to other parents about to, I don't know, maybe just be aware of your surroundings, of your child, of the signs of maybe they, I mean, kids are unpredictable. You know what I mean? They're going to put things in their mouth.
Well, for one thing, I happen to be, because of my career, I work in human services. I work directly with people. Mm-hmm. I do the annual or biannual, every other year I take CPR and first aid training. And it really is true what they say about your training, right? When you go to these trainings, if you keep up with them, if you recertify, they'll tell you that in an emergency, your instincts will kick in and you will just do your training.
Sure.
And I found that really to be the case. In every instance, I don't have time to panic. I panicked after it was finished.
Right.
So, I recognize the sign that my son is choking. I immediately act. And then usually every time what happened is that, you know, I am able to dislodge whatever's stuck in his esophagus. And then, you know, he has vomited.
Sure.
But then he's completely fine. And it's after that, it's after he's fine that I start to feel the emotions.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Is it?
Right.
Do some parents, I don't know if this is a technique of just sticking your finger down their throat. Is that something?
Actually, that would not be a good idea.
Oh, it wouldn't be.
Okay. Go to the training. Yeah.
Okay.
Because
that wouldn't
be. Could be doing it. They used to teach a finger sweep, which is what you're talking about. But what you could be doing is pushing whatever's in their mouth back down.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It was a scary situation for me growing up as a kid, too, because at 7 years old, I would eat fast and not chew.
Mm.
And I choked on a Dorito, and we were at a family party, and my cousin had to give me the Heimlich. And I never forgot that because I was so just.
Oh, my God, Moose.
Yeah, I thought when you're sitting there as a kid choking and everybody around you starts panicking. Oh, my. It's
massive triangle lodged in your throat is crazy.
It's a scary situation.
Yeah. Wow.
So I can't imagine all the times you've had to go through it. That's wild.
Jess, have you ever had to experience the life vac or the tool that suctions it out?
I think if I was not trained now, right? And if I hadn't already jumped in with the training that I have without that device, I would have bought that device, right?
Sure.
Because I've seen it. We know how our logarithms work and our phones work, right?
Yeah.
So anti-choking devices do pop up in my feed. I've seen it. I've heard it to be effective. I just don't think at this point, since I've been trained without it for as long as I have, that I would run to it.
Right.
But I can understand. I think it's a good idea. I definitely think, especially for new parents, I think it's a good idea to have it on you because, yes, it is like it's more common than people realize. That, right, for two reasons. What Moose just mentioned, you could just be chewing too fast,
mm-hmm.
right? Or it could be the kind of thing that happens with my son where a lot of times when, like, he was choking on a quarter in 2020, right?
Oh my
it's
God.
Not that he was eating a quarter. I just didn't realize he had a quarter in his mouth and he got on a sensory swing. So then he took a deep breath and I recognized the sounds of his asphyxiation immediately and just acted.
Yeah, that's...
So,
is there anything you don't allow your kids to eat?
No, because the same child also has self-selected through, like, because of trauma, likely, what he can and cannot eat. Like, he is very, very picky.
Mm-hmm.
But, I did, when he was younger, I did cut up his food very small. Like,
right.
I would keep, like, again, because of my job, I have a lot of training on things like, you know, swallowing, chewing, safe eating.
Right.
So I would modify his food, but not anymore. Because for him, it's not so much his swallow of food. It's the inedible objects that I try to keep out of his mouth. But
yeah.
He picks things up. So,
like Breezy mentioned, I mean, there's 70 children under the age of 10 that die every year just from choking. And so, Jess, you would definitely recommend any parent getting training for
Just to have.
Yeah.
For their kids and for people around you. Yeah. Like, it's
I think all of us, you know, you never know when you're going to run into a situation where you need to pull that out of your back pocket and use it to save somebody's life.
I feel like back in 2023, when the Damar Hamlin thing took place, we all were like CPR certified, CPR certified. But like, it's just as important for Heimlich maneuver and choking, you know.
Yep.
Training
and it's
as well.
All the same training. You learn it all in one class, right?
Okay.
You're going to learn first aid. You're going to learn choking prevention and what they're called. I think Heimlich was like the name of the person who invented it. So they call it now just abdominal thrust. But yes, it's the Heimlich maneuver.
Sure.
And if you do your training, they'll ask you to come back every 2 years. And then the retraining is a little bit shorter. But it really does work if you keep up with it.
Yeah. I want to do it.
When emergency hits, you will just act and then you panic later.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time this morning and coming on with us. We appreciate it. Tell your kids we said
hello. I will.
Okay. Talk soon.
Bye, Jess.
Bye.
Rochester's number one hit music morning show wants to hear from you. Call or text Moose and Breezy at 585-252-9800. The number one hit music station. 98 PXY.
The story, like, literally makes me sick to my stomach. And I know I'm not, like, a huge animal person, but this will make your stomach churn. Defenseless puppies were rescued after they were found left next to a dumpster in Rochester. Lollipop Farm said the litter of two-day-old babies, which still had the umbilical cord attached to them, were found in a bucket.
Jeez.
A good Samaritan came to rescue them, and they brought the puppies straight to Lollipop Farm, where they received emergency care and were brought back from basically the brink of death. They're like the cutest things I've ever seen in my entire life. There's so many of them. I think there's like seven. They're now around 3 weeks old, and the puppies have since opened their eyes, and they're doing well. They're thriving. Obviously, Lollipop Farm played a massive role in that. Their survival is nothing short of a miracle and made possible by the dedication of the staff, experts of the veterinarian team and foster teams, and their unwavering compassion of the community members as well, said Lollipop Farm. If you want to maybe rescue one of these puppies, take one of them home. They have a link on their website for you to go check them out, but they're literally so cute. Obviously, they're going to need to stay at Lollipop Farm for a little until they're healthy, fully vaccinated, ready to be adopted. I mean, puppies can't really go home with anybody until, like, I think it's 6 months.
I don't know the number.
Or some, 4 to 6 months.
It always has been.
But they're literally 3 weeks old, so.
It's always blown my mind. It's so disturbing to think about the amount of people out there that are just have no problem throwing animals near a dumpster like trash.
Yeah.
Like, see ya. Ugh.
I can't believe somebody found them, too. They're literally so cute. I can't even get over it.
Yeah, I saw the pictures this morning. Remember, guys, adopt. Don't shop.
Here's your opportunity.
Well, this is a convenient transition. We love our pets, and losing them and having to let go is always the hardest part, obviously. But this morning, we're asking the question, do you go in with your pet during their last moments or not? We would love to hear your thoughts on this topic this morning. We'll talk about it coming up next on PXY Mornings.
Miss out on 98 PXY's last flyaway to see Kendrick Lamar.
It's PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy. Welcome back to the show. I saw this on Facebook yesterday, and I thought it was interesting because everyone loves their pets.
Yes.
And we all know they're not going to be around forever.
Some more than others.
When the day comes to have to say goodbye, do you go into the room with your pet during their last moments? Or do you choose to leave the room? Tell us why. 585-252-9800.
It's a very tough, like, emotional decision, obviously.
Well, it is. And I was actually very surprised to learn how many people don't want to be in the room with their dying animal, their pet. But
yeah.
Would you agree that during these last moments is when your pet needs you the absolute most? I would assume so. Sure. I never grew up with a dog, never had a cat. We had a pet rabbit, Snickers, for 13 years. Mm-hmm. Most people know that about me.
Right.
But when the day came to put him down, I was not there. My mom and grandma was. But man, I was a little torn up by it because part of me wishes I was. He was part of the family. Regardless of what animal you have. When they come into your life and they're there that many years with you, they're automatically a part of the family.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And for you to like just let them be is...
Oh, it's terrible.
It's as hard as it probably is. I mean, I've experienced with my own family dogs. It's necessary to do. You have to put that hardship aside and be there for your pet, just like they've been there for you for the past however many years they were with you and your family.
Yeah, some people, they have a hard time letting go, like your mom. She turned all your dogs into taxidermies, which is crazy.
These things happen.
Hello, PXY.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Carmen.
Hey, what's happening, Breezy?
Oh, nothing much. What are you doing? What's up?
Hey, just driving. So I have a thought on the pet thing you guys were just talking about. Do you go in with your pet?
Yes.
Let it rip.
You absolutely have to go in with your pet. They're a family member, so I don't know how you can't go in.
True.
Yeah, I know. They're part of your life. I kind of agree with that, too. As hard as it is for some people, you got to spend your last moments with them.
We got a collie when I was probably 4 or 5 years old. Beautiful little girl named Queenie.
Queenie.
And by the time, you know, I was 18, I came home and I found her in the garage and she had like a stroke.
No,
and so,
not
yeah,
Queenie.
So she was a big, beautiful dog. We took her to the vet and the next day my father asked, you know, do you want to come into the room with us? You know, and I'm like, absolutely, I want to come in.
Yeah, right. That's the best thing, you know.
So we went in and they gave her that stupid shot. I cradled her head as she went away. And I'm so glad I went.
That's a good last moment.
Yeah.
I'm tearing up now thinking about it. But I'm so glad I went. Because how could you just leave your pet?
Yeah.
I know.
People do it. They do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks for calling up and sharing, man. I appreciate it, Carmen.
Thanks for the vulnerability.
Yeah, guys. Have a great day.
We love you. See ya.
See ya, man.
Bye. See ya.
Let me go over to Chrissy's text coming in right now. It says, I think some owners forget that you are the center of their life, but they are also your family. So no matter how hard it is, you can't leave them. Leah says, don't let them die in a room with a stranger in a place they don't even like.
Right.
It's very painful for veterinarians to see how pets cannot find their owner during their last minutes of their life. Mm. They don't understand why the owner left them. Don't be a coward because it's too painful for you. You have to think about your pet. Let me see. Hi, Eileen. I know Eileen's been patiently on hold here. Eileen, are you there?
Hi there. Good morning.
So what are your thoughts on this topic?
Well, I feel that all pets deserve to have last wishes before they die. I recently and it breaks my heart to even have to say this, but I never thought that the day would come, but I recently had to have my dog Benji put down.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. He was a Yorkshire Terrier, and I'm telling you, he was the smartest dog you have ever met.
Sure.
And yeah, and I just wanted to say that it completely blows my mind how many people, when it's time to put their animal down, just leave the room. And I do get it. It's painful, but they don't realize that it's in these last moments of life that their pet needs them their absolute most.
Right.
And there are just, and there are just so many people that don't deserve to even have a pet. Every single pet deserves to have last wishes.
And so, how so? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, how are you, how does that work exactly, considering the fact that animals can't communicate to their owners or anyone for that matter?
Well, they could, but just without using words.
Right. I'm not really good with interpretations. So.
Well, when they die, and you would be surprised how many pet owners don't ask their pet what their dying wishes are. If you have had your animal for over 10 years, then you should already know what it is that they would love before they take their last breath.
Okay, so what was your dog Benji's last wishes?
Well, Benji's last wishes were simply a Himalayan bacon chew. And I think all you have to do is talk to your pets.
How did he communicate that to you though, Eileen?
I just looked into his eyes and I asked that question, what would you like? Tell mommy what you would like before you go to heaven. And I just waited for the response. That's what he said.
You felt it in your soul?
I did. It's like my third eye could read what he was telling me.
Okay.
It's true. I know a lot of people don't believe it, but it's true. Just do it. Everybody needs to do it.
I'm sorry you're hurting.
Grieving.
Thank you. I mean, human beings are all asked what they would like before they pass. Why shouldn't we ask our pets?
No,
they deserve the same treatment, right?
Mm-hmm. Are you looking to... well, obviously, like Breezy mentioned, I know you're grieving right now. Are you looking to get a new pet at some point to help keep you company?
Oh, my God. No, I can't even possibly even think about that.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. But the last thing I want to say is simply that I don't think people should even get an animal if you're going to deny them their last wish before they take their last breath. I just think that it's totally selfish.
Well, just ask your pet what their last wishes are before they take their last breath.
Yes. And if you don't, it's just selfish.
Okay.
That's how I feel.
All right. Well.
Well, thanks, Eileen.
Yeah, thank you for the insight. This is so helpful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in. And all right. Well, good luck to you. And again, condolences to the passing of Benji, is it?
Yeah, Rip.
All right. Thank you all very, very much. And have a great day.
All right. You too, Eileen. Take care now.
So insightful.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Now, I don't do drugs, but I definitely feel like I'm on something right now.
It was an interesting call.
So why did she sound like a Disney princess?
She's a sweet woman, Breezy. She's a sweet Grammy. Listen, I'm not trying to come off insensitive, but the Himalayan bacon chew had me. It got to me.
The third eye really was the one that sent me over the edge, so.
Right. Okay.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay.
My third eye read it.